Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
That's Nicole. And she is sitting in for Audrey because Audrey decided to go to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah. She's
fine. Then we got Ed Stoven, who didn't want to go to Hawaii because there's nothing to ride a motorcycle around over there.
It's a long flight.
It's a long flight to carry your bike. Hey, we want to give a shout out to Alpha Site Logistics. They've been serving Imperial Valley for over 20 years. And what do? Well, if you're doing an event out there, or maybe you're whatever it may be, and you need portable toilets, hand wash stations, hand wash trailers, shade trailers, dumpsters, and a whole lot more, then you need to call them at 760-352-8383. That's 760-352-8383. Make sure you thank them for sponsoring SDORC Dirt Radio. Get a quote. You can also find them on Facebook at facebook.com/alphalogistics.com. So how are you guys doing? Nicole's a little tired. She went camping with the herd last night.
Yeah, and we went off-roading at Corral Canyon. It was a lot of fun. And I just want to start off by saying SDORC wants to say happy Father's Day to all your fathers out there. We don't want to forget about you. You're either on the trail or hopefully you're doing something fun today with your family.
Yeah. We're doing radio.
Yeah.
Radio's fun.
Radio's always fun. How you doing, Ed?
Doing well.
Actually, wow, you got a lot of paperwork today.
I got stuff. I'm sleeping in my bed again. I've been on the recliner for the last month.
Month?
5 weeks because I broke eight ribs crashing my dirt bike. So I'm feeling pretty good today.
So is the recliner up for sale?
Make me an offer. You know, I have two recliners. The one I've had a long time wasn't very comfortable for sleeping on, so I went and bought another one, and then I got to get rid of one of them. At least one of them. Maybe both. I don't know.
No, because offense, but
yeah, go ahead.
This could happen again.
Yeah, keep an eye on Craigslist. If you need a recliner, one might be posted soon.
Exactly. So you were actually at an event yesterday, right?
So it was just with the TDS 4x4 Club. They did a run, and I've been going to their meetings since 2017. Mm-hmm. I'm not an official member yet, but they have stipulations to become a member, and one of their stipulations is that you have to do a certain amount of overnight trail runs. So this was one of my overnights to help me become a member of that club. And as you all know, TDS runs the Desert Safari that happens in usually March or
first weekend in March.
Which is an amazing fun event that has raffle prizes, a trail run. They sometimes have food vendors, and last time they had a foam house.
Oh, yeah,
like where you got
a bounce house.
Yeah, it was like, well, you got into it, and they sprayed you with foam.
Oops.
Yeah.
Okay.
You got to play in the foam.
Well, hey, if you haven't done it, folks, don't knock it. It looks like it could be a whole lot of fun.
So. It was nice because it's out in the desert. So. Yeah.
And they're a fundraising group as well to try to keep the deserts open, just like SDORC.
It's Tierra del Sol four-wheel drive club.
Yep.
And they have a lot of events. You know, for a member has to put on a run at least once a year, and they do really well at Desert Safari.
They really do.
People pay money to go to it. They pay money to buy shirts, and Tierra del Sol, the club, donates a lot of that money to California Association of Four Wheel Drive Clubs.
Mm-hmm.
They do similar to what SDORC does.
Yeah, and we also do other things with the club. We do cleanups with the club in Corral Canyon. We also go in together when we want to sponsor, like Oceano Dunes.
They donate money to different causes. Yeah, they give money to Ecologic. They paid a lot of money at the Ocotillo Wells lawsuit. Mm-hmm. Was that about 8 years ago? They're an environmental group sued to close Ocotillo Wells from open riding, and they gave a lot of money to that,
right?
A big pile.
Well, because you know that war is never ending.
It never ends, boy.
These politicians. I mean,
well, the environmentalists they lean on the politicians.
Oh my
yeah,
god!
Yeah,
so it's really environmentalists, and they're so whacked out and out there on. They don't even understand.
They don't even know why they're doing what they're doing.
Like off-roading is really not that bad. You look at somewhere like Ocotillo Wells. It's an open area. They get a lot of people out there. It's essentially the same as it was hundreds of years ago as far as species, right? Plants and animals mm-hmm. and erosion. Like the place is roughly like it was 100 years ago.
Right.
You go just down the way, and there's farms out there in Imperial County. And what happens when you have a farm? You have total habitat destruction. Mm. Are they screaming bloody murder about the farms?
Mm-mm.
You don't hear it.
No, not a word.
So
and you don't know why either.
It's relative. Like parks, you know, a beautiful park with the grass and the trees. None of that is indigenous. It's total habitat destruction.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it's okay to have a park there. But you have off-roading. You have trails. And the world is collapsing. The sky is falling. You can't have it. It's terrible.
And, you know, the funny thing about it is not only do off-roaders use those trails, but so do animals.
You know, that's so funny because you see scat from the coyotes along the trails.
Poop, in case you people are not off-road enthusiasts. But, I mean, you do. I mean, because, I mean, the little animals, whether they're small, medium, or large, I mean, they still have to get from point A to point B. And if there is a trail that's already there, and the thing with off-roaders is you can't tell me that these off-roaders go out and destroy the environment on purpose. No. Well, you may have one or two. We found one that got kind of carried away and went off into an area that they weren't supposed to go into. But some of that has to do with the fact that, you know, the government's signage department is somewhat lacking.
Sure. Sure. Animals, they go on the trails. And first of all, the trails never get used at night,
nope.
Right? No one's off-roading at night. Hardly anyone is going on them Monday through Friday.
Right.
So Saturday and Sunday during the day, they get used.
And they don't get used at all in the summer.
Generally, they don't get used in the summer, depending
except
on where
for
you
us.
Go.
All right. Aren't you supposed was
yeah,
it hot
it was,
out there?
It was hot. Yeah. It was about 93.
It was hot and getting hotter.
It was probably. Getting hotter. It was nice, though. The drive back today, you could tell we left, it was like 91 degrees. And by the time we got back here, it was like 73.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a big difference between Lake Morena and Lakeside area. So.
But see, the general consensus is this property is not being used 24/7, 365 days a year.
No, and you could tell the trail has totally overgrown almost.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of shrubs that were in the hitting the vehicles,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, if you haven't been on a trail in a while and not a lot of people have been on the trail, that tends to happen.
Sure.
And so we just need to find some cool days to go out there and do a trail cleanup and trim back some of this brush.
You know, I applied for a grant from Tread Lightly and BF Goodrich for money for trail cleanups and trail work.
Wonderful.
So hopefully that'll fund. And I think this coming winter we'll do some trail days.
Yeah, just go out there and you know do your thing. And
we want to do a cleanup at Otay. We want to do trail work at Corral Canyon.
Yep.
And then I want to do a cleanup in Painted Gorge, which is the area that I love. That's both off-roading and shooting.
Mm-hmm,
and sometimes the target shooters leave stuff out there.
Well, see, that's where I know Audrey's been talking to my gun show, the Gun Owners Radio, and that'd be a good group to get
together. We've discussed with them. We've done one cleanup with them already.
We did it with SD Must.
Oh, yeah.
That's, you know them?
Of course.
Of course you do. They're like your best friend.
Yeah, that's Desi and the gang, I mean, which is an awesome group of young ladies that if you're interested and you're a female and you want to learn to shoot, these folks will take care of you free of charge. No problem.
Yeah,
but yeah, we got it. But see, we all have to work together because we all like to go outdoors. We all like to do those types of things, and it won't happen.
And that's why we're not only are we with SDORC, we're with these other trail clubs and with these other organizations because we're all in it together. We're all kind of striving for the same purpose, and working together is the best way to get these things accomplished and completed. So, I think it's great to have these different groups and organizations. You meet so many different people. Oh, yeah. I met so many people out on the trail today. There were yesterday. There were 12 rigs on the run. And mine
did
was
you meet
the oldest.
Anyone new?
Oh, I met a lot of
people you have never met.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah, cool. I did, and it was exciting. So, right. And we were camping with them, and it was a lot of fun.
That's what it's all about—just meeting new friends. All right, we're gonna take a quick break. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio, right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to STORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Hey, this segment's brought to you by our good buddy Wayne Miller.
From Wayne Miller Mobile Tires. He's there on 11350 Woodside Avenue in Santee, California. And he does mobile tires. He comes out to you if you need a tire change, if you have any issues like that. But he also does things in the shop. So if you need a brake adjustment or a lot, transmissions.
Any kind of automotive service, he is there for
you. Yeah, give him a call at 619-596-2800 and he can take care of you.
Right. And Southwest Point of Sale also sponsors this hour. If you have a small grocery store, liquor store, and you have a business where you're having a hard time hiring cashiers, well, Southwest Point of Sale will give you that no human being checkout, which is really, really cool. If it seems a little scary, they give you 724 service. They'll come to you and help you set up your system. You don't have to worry about employees calling in sick. You could talk to Jeff, Mark, Beth, Ted, Tony, or Ramon. All you have to do is call them at 800-540-2149 and thank them for sponsoring STORC Dirt Radio. All right, so we were talking a little bit off air about the 500. Is that where we're going next?
Yeah. I'd like to go to the Baja 500, which happened last week.
I know
week.
You'd like to go to the Baja 500.
Yeah,
I want to
ride it. We talked about it last week,
you
and
can't
so
ride.
Now we have results.
You're broke.
Oh, I'm feeling a lot better.
You could not take on the 500.
I don't know. Give me a couple weeks.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, see, now that's a
decision. So the 53rd Baja 500 took place.
Wow.
And what's interesting is 4 days after the finish of the race, they declared the winner. Larry Rosler, age 64.
Who hasn't known woo-hoo. That guy?
Who first won a class in the Baja 500 in 1972 and first won an overall in 1975, him and Bruce Ogilvie.
Yeah. What's he driving this year? It had to be something with a lot of
suspension. He's on a Toyota. He's a Toyota Tundra.
Oh, really?
There's a factory effort for a trophy truck.
No kidding.
So that's a real deal. So he didn't win the race. He didn't come across the finish line first. The first one across the finish line was Luke McMillan, who beat his cousin by 4 seconds.
Right.
But what happened to Luke is he was running the race. He was winning the race. He's ahead. He was ahead overall, and he's running, and he made a slight wrong turn where the road took a Y, and he needed to get over to the other side. So instead of backing up or making a U-turn, he went over somebody's tent.
Some spectator.
There was nobody in it, but he ran over a tent, and it got caught on film. It got videoed. And once the guys from SCORE saw that, he got disqualified from the race.
Completely disqualified.
Completely disqualified.
Well, because he was off route, right?
So that put... Not because he went off route, because he ran over these guys'
tent. Well, yes, I know that.
I mean, he only was off route by like 50 feet.
Just think if somebody would have been in there.
Oh, my God.
So you're saying that if he went off route and then just cut across any land, had he not gone over a tent, he would not have
been disqualified.
You can't
cut the course, but you can, I mean, 50 feet either side is okay.
Okay. If
he'd have backed up 100 feet and gone on the right, he would have won. And the reason why... Larry Rosler was third. So
how did he get first?
Well, so Luke got disqualified, and then Luke's cousin Andy McMillan,
who
was second, and then he was awarded the win. Then he got in trouble. Now, what happens in the 500 is it's mostly dirt going all over the mountains and the desert and everywhere.
It's a loop, isn't it?
This year it was one big loop. It went south along the coast. And then it turned inland down by San Quintin, and it went up through the center of the peninsula and then wound its way back to Ensenada. So what happens is occasionally the route goes along the highway. Like there's not a good dirt road that does everywhere. So they go down the highway a little ways and they turn off. So when they're on the highway, they have to go the speed limit, right? Because there's civilians or there's normal people driving around and they got to go easy. So they give penalties for people that speed.
Right.
And everybody knows you're supposed to go slow in these spots.
Right.
Well, not only did he speed on the highway, he passed somebody and there was oncoming traffic and the oncoming traffic had to swerve. It was kind of a bad thing. And I heard that he actually hit, like he scraped a car. So he got penalized 30 minutes. No. He didn't get DQ'd, but he got penalized 30 minutes in the race.
And he probably had to pay for the guy's paint job.
Probably didn't bother him, if you know that company. Or, you know, the McMillan Realty, the whole. But anyway, so he got pushed way down in the score. And Larry Rosler,
he's looking around saying, oh, okay, I'll win.
But before he won, so Robbie Gordon was running well, and he broke a trailing arm. So he was out of the race. Bryce Menzies was leading the overall. He was really killing it, and he got getting close to the end, and he had a fuel delivery problem, and he ended up rolling to a stop. So Larry Rosler, he sticks by the rules. He rides hard, but he doesn't over ride it. He's got a great vehicle, his Toyota.
Sure.
You know, Toyotas are reliable.
And he just comes cruising through.
And he just comes in. And he wasn't the fastest guy, but he was up there. He was pretty fast.
Yeah, but he still missed out on all the hoopla because all the hoopla.
It happens right at the end of the race. Everyone's waving. And so Luke got all that. But so this is Larry Rosler's 12th Baja 500 victory.
Wow.
9 on motorcycles and 3 on four wheel.
And he's 60 what?
64 years old. Yeah. He's got he can get Social Security.
Yeah.
So he's got more time to practice.
He needs to get AARP to sponsor him.
God.
Never AARP too old to follow your dreams, right? He just wants to win.
Well, he's never stopped.
Yeah.
See,
he's been going the whole time. And I told the story on the air recently about the Takati 250, the Takati Enduro, where I came across a guy at the very end of the race who was pointing at his gas tank. This is 150 miles, 3 loops, 7.5 hours of riding as hard as you can. It's a motorcycle race.
Mm-hmm.
And I see a guy, I'm like, from here to there to the finish line, been riding all day. I'm like, well, I'll give this guy some gas. I mean, I'm not in contention for winning the overall.
I'm just
happy to be finishing. So positioning my bike so I can undo my fuel line and run into his guest. And I look up, I go, are you Larry Rosler? Yeah. Yeah.
That hurry was Larry up, Rosler. Hurry up, hurry
he,
up.
Yeah, hurry up. I got to finish this race. He was on a Kawasaki. So Larry had won that race like 4 times. And his time had sort of come and gone, and he was an older rider. He wasn't like the fastest guy anymore.
Right.
But he was still a fast guy.
Still
rider.
Competitive.
So he was doing a favor for Kawasaki, riding the KLX 300 4-stroke, like a trail bike.
And it doesn't get good gas mileage.
He just didn't have a big enough gas tank. I used an RM250, and I borrowed a gas tank from Freddie Willard.
A big gas tank.
A bigger tank. Yeah, it's like about a gallon more. And what's funny about that, Freddie always rode the 500 on motorcycles. And last week I talked about my friend who, he did the Takati Enduro with me, and he went and got drafted to do the Baja 500 after it. Well, Freddie was on that team. So anyway, what's funny is Freddie just won Class 10 at last week's Baja 500.
How old is he?
He's around my age. He's probably late 50s.
Okay.
He's still a badass. He was a professional motocrosser and a Baja racer. And it's kind of cool. He's you know, with age comes a cage. So he's gave up the motorcycle and he goes four-wheeling. He had a penalty. He had a 4-minute and 30-second penalty for speeding, you know, through one of the towns. And I looked at the penalty sheet, and it was like half of the entries were penalized, minutes.
How do they know this?
They have GPS trackers on them.
On every vehicle.
Every entry, yeah. And that's
they should
good
be notified at the driver's meeting.
You can look on the internet and see where people are. like I was during the race, I looked and you can see all like, you know, there's hundreds of little markers out on the course, and some of them are not on the course, but a lot of them are bunched up over here, over there. So they, a GPS is wonderful for bar racing because in the old days you get lost and who knows what happens.
You're lost.
Now, do you know in the earliest races, they didn't have a route. Like the first Baja 1000s,
no, it was just
it started in Tijuana, and the first one to La Paz was the winner.
And they didn't care
how you got there.
Right.
And guys would all over the peninsula. So nowadays it's a lot safer.
Well, you know, because
you're not going to be spending the night in a cold place somewhere.
But you don't want to be going down some road that nobody knows about it and you don't know about it, and then you have a situation nobody'll ever find you.
Yeah, or they'll find you way too late.
Yeah.
So Dan McMillan got fourth overall. So there's three McMillans in the race, all in trophy trucks. I mean, I can't even imagine what it cost to put that whole effort together.
A lot.
That's a huge amount of money. Let's see. And what's funny about this race is Alex Gonzalez overcame huge odds and many highly capable vehicles. He finished with his stock Volkswagen 20 hours and 58 minutes after the race.
What year Volkswagen? What do you think?
I don't know, but it's.
I doubt it's a new one.
I doubt. You know what? They still bring Volkswagens down to
the
Mexico.
Bugs.
The Bugs.
Oh, yeah. I love those.
Isn't there a vintage class?
He's racing if you could watch, like, I watched some of the footage and, like, the deep whoops, and these guys are slamming. Can you imagine driving a stock Volkswagen with the little wheels and the little suspension and the little motor?
That'd
and
be
you're
Audrey.
Going to,
That'd
instead
be
of jumping everything, you're like rolling everything.
They've
just finishing that
pictures.
20 hours is amazing.
I just
feat.
Saw a picture recently of the old buggies jumping in midair.
Oh, yeah.
It was so cute.
Yeah, they look good. They look good going up. They don't look so good coming down.
Yeah.
They land like a ton of bricks.
They slam like a ton.
And, you know, like I said last week, in the old days, the motorcycles would always win the overall by a substantial amount of time. So this race and many of these Baja races have areas with silt. And for those of you who don't know what silt is, it's like talcum powder. It's very fine powder on the ground. And if you've ever ridden a motorcycle through silt, it's scary. You don't go fast. Like, it's so soft, there could be a rock hidden. You don't see it, and then you slam into the rock. It's just murder to go fast. And the trucks, they just go flying through it. The motorcycles, they got to tiptoe.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
This segment is brought to you by our good buddy Chris Wiley.
Yeah, at Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc. He can take care of you with all your mortgage needs, refinancing, or new mortgages. His number is 619-722-1303. Chris Wiley is the man to go to.
All right. Yep. So we were talking Baja 500 and all the trials and tribulations, and a lot of people don't realize the McMillans. My goodness, I think they've been running the 500 and the 1,000 ever since it started.
For decades.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an amazing company. They're very supportive, which would be a great sponsor for Rebel. Mm. All you got to do is reach out to them and let them know. They'll be more than happy to chat with you.
For the price of one trophy truck shock, they could send you through the whole thing.
That's pretty much, you couldn't be any more correct than that. Yeah.
Wow.
So the 500, it's come a long way, folks. Let me tell you. I mean, before there was really, the only rules were really no rules, but now it's all changed.
They got a lot of rules.
Well, because environment,
they learn.
Safety. Yeah, of course.
We learn and we improve.
And it makes for a better event, is really what it amounts to.
It's safer for the people. It's better for the competition.
I wonder if the folks down in Mexico still make the obstacle courses, obstacles.
They you know what they do? They do some booby traps.
Right.
Yeah, that still takes place.
Logs in the roads.
They trenches with like a thin piece of plywood covering it.
Right.
Yeah. Just, who was telling me about that, where the guy barely, like, he hit it and he was, you know what a flying W is on a motorcycle? Where your legs are above with your knees bent and you look like a W for a second?
For a second.
Yeah, a guy said he did a flying W and landed and barely landed back on the bike. And
That hurts, too.
It could hurt.
Yeah. So what else you got?
Yeah, anything else?
So something to shift gears. We've been dragging Oceana Dunes through the dirt for months and months. And we talked about Oceana Dunes is also known as Pismo Beach. It's an off-road area in Central California where you can drive on the beach and in the sand dunes. And people have had it out for that place for years and years. This year, the Coastal Commission, the California Coastal Commission, voted to close it for off-road vehicles in within 3 years. So there's four lawsuits running right now to try to save it, three from Friends of Oceana Dunes and one from Ecologic Partners. And those lawsuits, they have a pretty good chance. I think that at least one of those lawsuits is going to prevail and save off-roading. But here's the thing about a lawsuit. Is a lawsuit looks at existing law and it asks the court to interpret it better. That we think that an agency who used the law, they didn't interpret the law correctly, and we're asking for a reinterpretation. So what scares me a little bit about this is that we're going to, let's say Friends of Oceana Dunes wins on one of their lawsuits, and it's going to be open again. Well, what's to stop the state legislature from passing a law that gives the California Coastal Commission more authority regarding whatever is going on over there?
Would give them the right to close it down whenever they wanted.
And then they could go back again, and then they could circle back and go ahead and close it in a way that we couldn't sue and we would just be screwed. So that would be tough. So California Off-Road Vehicle Association, of which I'm a 16-year director, they came up with another idea. Now, you guys, I think most people who are listening have heard of Proposition 13. Prop 13 stopped the continued increase of property taxes. And that came about by an initiative, a ballot initiative. That is, people voted for it. So in California, the legislature makes laws. Sometimes the legislature doesn't address something that the people really want. And so the people are allowed to do what's called a ballot initiative. And the whole state can vote on it. And they can sort of override the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about, well, what if we ran a ballot initiative for Oceana Dunes? So we found a consultant who does ballot initiatives. And we were in talks and we were figuring out how much it's going to cost and what would we do. So we thought, well, we could do a ballot initiative that says Oceana Dunes is going to stay an off-road park. And if we were to do that, that would be ironclad. That place would be
locked
an off-road park no matter what. And, well, it turns out it's expensive. Like, so you ever see the guy in front of the supermarket and he has a clipboard? We'd like you to sign this.
Right.
It costs between $2 and $3 per signature. And you need 1.5 million signatures.
Wow.
Now, there was a recall for Governor Newsom.
Right.
And they have to go through the same sort of hoops. Mm-hmm. But there's just a lot of people that wanted to help. So they have this huge volunteer base.
Right.
I don't know if we could get a huge volunteer base for Oceana Dunes. Like, we may have to pay a lot of money. So once we pay, like, let's say we pay the $3 to $5 million to get it on the ballot, then there's another whole thing you have to do to get people to vote the way we want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the advertising would just be formidable,
right?
The money.
Jeez.
And so we went and we asked for corporate sponsorship. You know, how much could you give? Could Polaris give us, you know, BF Goodrich? So we, you know, you look at the companies that have a lot of money and it's just hard.
Well, the biggest problem is, and that's one, it's sales 101 or advertising 101. What you want now, you should have asked them back in October of 2020, because their ad budget is already spent at the end of that year. So
And we could be a multi-year thing.
Well, no, I realize that, but they have to budget it into their program. And if you don't, like for example, the Rebel Rally, because you and Audrey are trying to get into the Rebel Rally. Well, to get into the Rebel Rally, we should have been looking for money back in 2020.
Yeah, that definitely helps to pre-plan and to get these sponsors ahead of time.
So Oceana Dunes really needs to be talking to these corporates today.
We should have been talking to them like way before the Coastal Commission even vote. Like, exactly. So the timing is difficult. And
it's not impossible.
Our consultant said that we need to get this on the 2022 ballot. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the companies you said and their advertising budget, like the timing just doesn't work. Like we don't have enough time.
Well, in a way we do, because don't you vote in October of 2022?
The end of 2022.
So if you went to them today,
about a year and 5 months.
So you're really in the sweet spot. You really are in the sweet spot. Somebody needs to put a proposal together, and they need to go to Honda, Kawasaki, Suzuki, every single one. Make it a one-page proposal, and I know emailing is the best way to go, but you almost physically need to go to
this kind of thing.
Cold calling with emails sometimes doesn't work. It was definitely good to know the contact and talk to them person to person.
Bingo.
It's my experience that emailing barely works. It works a little bit, but...
Well, only if they know you.
If you know somebody. But, like, there's nothing like having a relationship with the right person and going in there.
I also think these off-highway vehicle corporations need to understand that if there's nowhere to ride, they're not going to be able to sell these off-road vehicles.
Who's going to buy them?
Exactly. So our job is to keep these areas open. And if Pismo Beach closes down, you know, Oceana Dunes, then there's nowhere where an off-roader can go ride on the beach in California.
The beginning.
Yeah, and once again, if we lose that area, what's the next area that we're going to lose?
And how many real corporate companies, and I'm talking everything from 100% to FMC, and these are the smaller companies, the ORWs of the world. How many of them even know about Pismo?
I think they all know.
So you need somebody, you know, that goes to the corporate offices, you know, makes appointments. It's a full-time job. I know it's great to have a lobbyist for Sacramento, but you almost need to have an advertising agency that understands that what you're trying to do, because there's no money back to the ad agency unless somebody pays the ad agency. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So but as far as Pismo, somebody needs to sit. I mean, there's got to be somebody that's in the Pismo community that's retired, that's been in the ad world or been in the advertising world.
That's a trick to find just the right person.
Well, you just got to ask, because you just never know. I'll give you a good example. Barona Speedway. It's a dirt track, right? You know how many people support the dirt track? Dirt guys. Guys that haul dirt all day long, you know, from construction sites. So guess what? They're picking up a load of dirt.
I was going to say the water trucks, too, to keep the dust down.
Water trucks, too. But they all are in the industry of dirt. So when, say, Troy Salazar goes and picks up a load of dirt from an excavation, he gets out and he goes, ooh, this got clay in it. And he just takes the dirt to the track. Because, I mean, they got to dispose of it, right? They take it to the dump. Well, he just takes it to the track. Same thing with the McMillans. Now, who would thought the McMillans, a real estate firm, would be this heavy duty into off-roading? Well, they are, because you just never know. So you got to pretty much knock on every single door. And I always tell people, like for example, as SDORC, as far as I'm concerned, every one of them are salesmen. You know, they can't just sit back and just not do anything. Because a lot of those folks at SDRC, they're retired businessmen, businesswomen, right?
At SDRC?
At SDORC, right?
We got retired people, but we have active.
But I'm just saying, you know, there's people out there that have contacts.
Right.
So but if, for them to physically go out and reach out.
Yeah, if you have an interest in off-road riding, off-road driving, then get involved. I think that's the biggest thing, to get involved in every aspect of it, because there is litigations going on in all different areas on many different OHV areas. So
we're at a point now where if you don't want to go off-roading, fine, don't do anything. Because it's going to go away. If you don't think it's not going to go away with our crazy political environment right now, you're out of your mind.
There's species that are they're trying to get listed.
I know.
And
so
once they get listed, we're going to lose.
But the corporations that make money off of us,
they're the ones
that need to kick in. The B.F. Goodrich.
We need to be a unified force. That's what we need to do.
Well, I've been saying that since I got involved with this. There's too many fractions.
And that's what we try to do. We try to stay down in our area, San Diego Off-Road Coalition.
But we need to pull this group together, because it's going to be difficult. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll discuss this a little bit more, because I think this is an important topic. Because if you want to continue to go off-roading, you had better get involved, and we need to figure out a way to put this whole package together. Why? Because SDORC Dirt Radio says so. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
Okay, so we were talking about getting involved, and I know there's listeners out there that could get involved. And I know a lot of the reason why we don't get involved is because they look, well, what could I really do? Well, you don't know what you can really do until you get involved.
And the easiest way to get involved is help support these clubs when they sponsor events, like our Lost Lizard Off-Road Run is coming up in November 13th, and it's a family-friendly event, and you pay, pre-registration is up, so you pay for registration to do the run, and it sponsors our efforts throughout the entire year. And our efforts go towards lobbyists.
Helps us pay for our activities, our lobbyists, our storage, insurance, all that.
Yeah.
Well, here's another one, too, that you could think about. You know, if you're, say, you're up in age and you've got a considerable amount of money or property and you don't have any family members, San Diego Automotive Museum just got $1 million endowment.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Well, why? Because that person doesn't have any family, didn't have anybody to leave the money to, but he really liked the auto museum. That could happen to SDORC.
Yeah.
I know Sierra Club does that.
Oh, of course.
They ask people to leave them money.
Absolutely. Because Sierra Club is more hell-bent on marketing and sales, advertising, than they are on keeping it, because they want to keep it all closed. So they're just a marketing arm. That's all they are. They're just making money. They're not doing anything good for the environment, necessarily.
I don't know. I don't see it.
No, I don't see it either. So we really need to start, you know, reaching out and getting, you know, like the Copleys. Look what the Copleys have given. Look at Helen Kroc. You know,
oh my God.
There's so much money out there now. I guess Gates and a couple other ones. Now they're trying to figure out where they want to throw their money at. They need to, but somebody's got to come up to them with a good proposal and ask for it. And I think the desert, you know, until you've gone out into the desert, you've gone out to, you know, to Pismo, or you've gone to the beach or not the beach, but Ocotillo Wells and things like that, and seen the beauty that's out there. I don't know. I mean, it's just, but the kicker is, got to find somebody. I mean, I was even trying to get some, I have a friend of mine who's not working right now. And I was going to try to get him to do all of this. First thing he wants is all the money. I says, well, you get the money, and we'll give you a percentage of it. We'll give you a commission, and a good commission.
I like that.
That's the way you do it. You don't pay anybody. You say, look.
You need an incentive.
I'll give you 10%.
The more you make,
the more you get.
I do like that.
So we just got to find somebody or some agency. Are you good at writing as far as like a proposal? Because I'm not that good at doing that shit.
I'm pretty good at writing.
I think Ed's pretty good.
So what I would here's what I want you to do, Edward, is you got homework. I'd like you just to do an advertising proposal to, and it doesn't even leave the to who blank, but let's just use SDORC for an example. Here's not what we want, but here's what we're trying to do, And here's what you will get in return. When can we get together and have a meeting?
So if you're out there right now and you have a business and you want to know where to put your advertising money, you can put it to SDORC. We can advertise you on the radio. Right. We can also advertise you on slots on KUSI, Good Morning America.
Yeah. And the Rebel. Good Morning. You can be on the Rebel race that's
and,
coming up.
Yeah, and the Rebel Rally. We can put your logo on the vehicle.
If you're looking for an all-girl race team. But I'm just saying, I want you to just kind of think about it and we can get together and chat. But one page is more than enough. You know,
it can't be more than one page. No. People don't want to read a book.
They're not going to read a book. And then what we do is we start hammering. I mean, and I don't have a problem doing it. If I've got the tools, I don't have a problem. I mean, I can still go to, you know, I can still go to the car manufacturers. I can still, you know, not that the car manufacturers, but I'm just saying. But Jeep,
more like a dealership.
Look at Jeep.
Mm-hmm. Jeep dealers. I see Jeeps all over the Jeeps road. I see new Jeeps around.
Jeep has given Jeeps to Tierra del Sol for giveaways.
Cal 4-Wheel?
They gave one to Tierra del Sol because I put it on KUSI. Brand spanking new. It was a baseline. It was an X.
Was it for
It was for Tierra del Sol Rally.
For Safari?
Yeah, for the Safari Rally. Yeah.
Wow.
So, I mean... And let me tell you what, if you know there's a Jeep sitting at Lost Lizard, you don't think people won't?
A raffle prize, and there's only going to be a few hundred people?
I would buy all the tickets.
By the way, there'll be more than a few hundred people, because once that word gets out, I'll have to look up, but there's a way to do it is, I'll have to look, but there's a formula that the manufacturer... They just don't give you a vehicle. You know, they give you a vehicle. You sell X amount of tickets.
Right, with something in return.
Then then you can buy that vehicle, but it's like at their cost. And then the rest goes to your cause.
Right. So you have to sell the tickets over the cost of the vehicle.
Yeah, which is not difficult to do. The Auto Museum, a guy donated a 68 Dodge, you know, kind of a pro mod. And he says, I just want to sell 1,000 tickets for X amount of dollars. And he ended up selling 3,000 tickets and got bucket loads of money. And the car was donated anyway, but even if he had to pay for the car, you know. So there's ways to do it. We just got to sit down.
So once again, support Corva, support Cal 4-Wheel, support any organization in off-roading that's doing a raffle or doing a pre-registered event like the Lost Lizard Fun Run. That helps go towards all of our costs.
Has anybody talked to all these different groups as far as banding together?
Yeah. He works for two of them at least.
We have like a parent organization. It hasn't been active lately, but the California Motorized Recreation Council. So the leaders of all the groups get together. We haven't had a call in a while, not since the virus came. Mm-hmm. But we have the ability to get together and do stuff.
I think we should fire that back up again.
Hmm. Yeah.
Something to think about.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, something to think about. Because, you know, if we can get all... And that's another thing, too. If you have all those groups together and then you go to a company for money instead of just, you know, SDORC or Tierra del Sol, but if all those groups go... They know you've got a lot of people in your groups. And that's
all
customer.
Of us together is a big number of
it's
people.
It's huge. Yeah. It's huge. So, anyway. We'll talk more about that. But, folks, if you're interested, if you want to help Nicole and Audrey get into the Rebel Rally.
Boy, that's a neat one. I hope people can come together and help us in Rebel.
Yeah, we have definitely advertising space on the rig. We have it on our vests as well.
You don't have a vest. You don't even have a rig yet. But we.
Well, I think Audrey committed hers to the run.
If we can't. Get a vehicle.
I think she wants to use hers.
Well, I talked to
hers is capable.
Hers is more than capable. It's got to be upgraded. You know, the suspension's got to
be upgraded. Well, no, not really. Remember, this is a stock event.
That's right.
She really wants stock vehicles straight off the line to come out and show that they're capable.
That's right. That's my mistake.
So hers is definitely capable.
But
I took her vehicle. I took the Recon. Same year, same make to the Rebel Rally in 2017, and it was perfect.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, and it didn't have any additional lifts or suspension or anything. It was stock off the line. The only thing we added was a winch.
Change stuff?
You can. There's two different
So there's a stock
classes.
Class and a
there's
modified
a stock
class?
Yes, exactly.
And you'd rather go for the stock class?
I think there were a lot more rigs in the modified class,
right?
Compared to the stock class.
And yet, if you've done the stock class before that,
yeah,
and
you
she
get
knows
a nice
it.
Little.
I mean, if you have the best stock vehicle, because if you go modified, then now you need the best modified vehicle to be really competitive.
Yeah, and there's some nice rigs out there. Like,
boy, you can spend a lot of money on a vehicle. I mean, what's a trophy truck cost?
Oh. I think you're up to half a million. Yeah, we don't have to go that far.
No, I'm just saying, like, some people go nuts, and it's hard to compete against the ones
that
really go nuts.
One of the sponsors is Total Chaos, and Total Chaos does amazing suspensions for Toyota rigs. Mm. So they're one of the sponsors. So if they've got a cush ride compared to some of us on there.
All right. Well, I didn't even think about it, about a completely bone stock vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it doesn't have to be
modified.
So
there's a modified class,
mm-hmm.
there's a stock class,
and a bone stock class. Mm-hmm.
And then there's also an
all-wheel
drive
class.
So there's three classes, or mm-hmm. are there more than that?
I think that's all three.
Well,
but the bone stock and they're still in the 4x4 class. So the bone stock and modified, they're still in a 4x4 class.
So
technically, there's only two classes.
Like, their routes are a little different.
All-wheel drive class, yeah, has a little simpler
route.
They
can't go over the harder
right.
stuff. In a,
right, but still the same.
Is Monday a holiday?
Same checkpoints.
As Father's Day?
No. Next Monday is, because it's June 19th.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever.
Juneteenth.
For me, it just got...
No. Today
it just got done for the
today's
the
state. 20th of June.
Yeah, so the 28th, I get off. I work for UCSD. I work for the state. So
you're getting off for what?
For Juneteenth.
Oh.
But wouldn't that...
Because Biden just did that.
Juneteenth
and
was,
weren't they celebrating Juneteenth on the 18th? Right?
Well, it was supposed to be yesterday.
Yeah,
the 19th.
Some people did
it
the day before.
Yeah. Well, anyway, my only point was that because I talked to Audrey before she flew off to Hawaii, she's talked to Ford about the Maverick because that's a bone stock new truck that they got coming out. And I talked to the head marketing guy, and he was very excited.
Yeah, a lot of these companies have employees already that are interested in doing the Rebel. So
he said nobody's talking about the Maverick.
Oh.
What is
and
the Maverick? What kind of vehicle
is
it?
You'll have to Google it. It's a new Ford Maverick. It's a new
it's a
unibody.
Pickup truck?
Yeah, it's a unibody. It's a
unibody?
It's kind of like the new Hyundai Santa Cruz.
Does it have a transfer case?
Yes.
Four-wheel drive?
Yes.
Wow.
But yeah, it's a unibody. It's not a it's not a frame on.
Well, if it's a stock class.
It's a stock class.
You don't,
and I was just.
You can't lift it.
All right. Become a member at SDORC.org and go ahead and get your pre-registrations in.
Absolutely.
For the Lost Lizard. That's
and don't forget, stay tuned. We got Joseph Luciano coming in. He's running for governor. You're going to love it.
With Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit SDORC.org. That's SDORC.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.